from the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Blind Handyman Show.
All right.
Hey, all right. Hi there, and welcome to show number 187. I hate this month for two reasons. I'm a year older, and I can't pronounce it. February. Say it.
February.
6, 2007, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
And like I say, it's the Blind Handyman Show. For an hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Our host for the show every week, Don Patterson.
Well, I would like to re-stipulate the fact that I think this is about the third 187th show we've done.
Yeah.
So, and I stand on it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
When you get our age, you do kind of get confused with numbers.
That could happen.
Donald Shaw.
Hey, Mr. Tom.
Certainly nice to have you here today. It really is.
Oh, man, nice sunshiny day for a change.
That big, powerful bike you rode down the driveway.
No, you know it. You know it. Roaring with power, man.
My name's Tom Houston, but let's introduce the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. Hello there. Well, the Super Bowl is over.
Uh-huh. And I was wrong.
You were wrong. You thought Chicago would
win. I thought the Bears would win.
But, man, the first play, down, touchdown, fumble, picked up on the 20, to get down on the 10, halftime. One of the shortest games ever. Anyway, it was a kind of a good game.
The rain was intense.
Boy, it really was.
It?
I mean, can't believe playing in a... You know, a baseball, those pansies would have been in the clubhouse soaking up suds.
It was really lopsided, too. I mean, it was a lot more lopsided than the score.
Do you know, and oddly enough, all of the predictors that I saw had it just the other way, Chicago. They thought Chicago would win by 11 or 10 points. And
sure enough.
Man, I mean, Manning thrashed them.
I didn't think the offensive line of Indianapolis could handle the Chicago Bears defensive line, the front four of the defensive line, without the blitzes and all that.
Well, they were all
wrong.
Being forced to kick field goals. I mean, you know, there wasn't any big sustained drives by anybody, but I saw. Was there?
I don't know. Indianapolis moved the ball pretty freely. They didn't take advantage of a score every time or a touchdown every time down the field. Like you say, they were kicking some field goal.
It seemed like every time I would pay attention, I mean, no matter what state, that Indianapolis had the ball. I kept saying, I thought there were two teams in this game. I commented to
them. Well, you weren't exactly giving your full undivided.
No, you know, we left at halftime. So I went home and turned it on, and I told Emily, I said, I thought there were two teams in this. I mean, Indianapolis has got the ball again.
Well, Chicago was on defense the whole game.
The whole bunch.
And that was the problem. They were worn out.
Well, you know, that's what they said, possession. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the offense, I mean, that's the key in some cases.
And they were talking before the game, they were talking about Chicago going to wear down Indianapolis.
Yeah. And it was just the other way.
Just the opposite, yes, sir.
The bookies were probably right on. I have no idea what the line was. I'd have loved to know.
Well, we could have called, I guess
we
not.
We could have called
our friend.
Fitzy would have known.
Well, we have another friend who puts it on his answering machine. We don't want to mention his name. But you call his answering machine on Sundays, you get to line on certain.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, but it's only for fun and enjoyment. It's not for any monetary speculation.
Never in a million years.
Did you know it's 40 below in St. Paul today?
Oh, God.
Do you see that?
How do they live in weather like that?
I don't know. I was thinking of when it's springtime in Alaska. It's 40 below. Remember that Johnny Horton song?
Yeah.
I talked to Marlene, your sister, today in Ohio, and it was 2 below.
Wow.
And I said, well, do you take any special precaution? I think she just has a carport for her vehicle. And I said, do you take any special precautions for your little car? And she said, well, I started it yesterday, and it started up great. So.
Man.
I guess the antifreeze is working.
I guess so. But surely she has a block heater. Don't they all have block heaters there that they plug in?
She, I think, does not. I mean, it's just, but anyway,
Is this?
This is in
Cleveland,
about,
Toledo?
Yeah, no, well, it's about 60 miles from Dayton.
Okay.
Well,
we got a guy from Canada on today, so it ought to be, you know, and I talked to Dale the other day, and it was snowing profusely up there in Cochrane, Ontario.
Yeah.
This guy today probably lives in Miami, Canada. It's probably 85 degrees.
I think he's real, sure enough, frostback. That's what they call him, isn't it?
A frostback.
Those wily Canadians keep coming across the border. We call them frostback.
What did you say? A block heater?
The block heater.
It's a deal they plug in to keep the block of the car
yeah.
from freezing.
Isn't that right? I've never seen one. I've heard of them,
but just rarely.
Yeah, in Tomball, one semester, I had a professor that had just come from North Dakota, and the little cord on his heater on his little Toyota or whatever was still visible. You just plugged in. Yeah, I guess you put that piece of equipment. In fact, that'd be an interesting topic. Put that on the car, and then you just plug it into an outlet in your garage or something.
Yeah, but is it in the block or on the? I guess it's
just up in the compartment. I'm not sure what it does.
I wonder if all vehicles you would ride in up there would. I mean, like in Montana.
I know they sell a lot of them with no air conditioning.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Merle Haggard. You know, his bus tags were Montana when he was in Lufkin.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, I wonder if they have block heaters for those big buses.
Well,
like
you'd
that.
Think so.
Yeah, two huge buses out there.
Well, we need to find a guest who knows about that sort of thing.
Montana.
Yeah.
No,
well, we don't know. Right. We don't know that our today's guest.
Won't know. He might.
Possible.
He might. Man from Canada.
Yep.
He just might.
Well, we have an email that we've got from our list, blindhandyman@yahoogroups.com. You can subscribe if you like.
That's right.
We'd like to have you.
Anyway, here's one about a radiation test, and I don't know about this, but I thought I'd run it by you anyway. It says, hi all. My brother just told me, you know, the neat trick that helps you determine whether the seal on your microwave has been broken and is leaking radiation. Apparently, if you put your cell phone in the microwave and you call it, if it rings, then your microwave is leaking radiation. If, on the other hand, your cell phone does not ring, then your microwave integrity is not compromised and is safe to you.
Well, I tried that little experiment, if you can believe that.
I had to do it.
I didn't see it, or I'd have done it.
I had to try the experiment, and my cell phone absolutely did not ring while it was in the microwave with the door shut. But then that's been batted around a lot on the list, and some people said, yeah, that could be hokey. It's just questionable.
But yours didn't ring.
It absolutely did not ring.
Do you think you could have heard it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I was standing right by it.
Did your phone show a missed call?
Nope, it did not.
So it never received the signal.
It never received the signal.
Very interesting.
Now I think you
ought to put your landline in there.
Yeah, I thought about that. Put in the cordless phone.
The cord's in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Put in the cordless phone and see if it would ring. Yeah.
Well, so I guess if you put your cell phone in the microwave and it rings, what do you do?
Well, then you would have a radiation leak.
Toss your microwave.
I guess you would be time for a new microwave or cleaning or something. But we need to try that with your cell phone after the show.
Don't worry. We will. We'll try it with everybody. You got your phone with you, Houston? You do. I knew he did.
Well, I've got it in the truck, yes.
Well, we'll have to fetch it. We'll just have to know. If mine won't ring, then we'd assume. If one won't ring, we'd assume the rest of them would.
Well, here's the guy we all know and we all trust.
Who is he?
Kentucky guy, old Max.
All right.
And he says that he would not recommend turning on the microwave when the cell phone is in there.
No.
Seriously, a leak would have to be pretty major one to let a cell phone get signal inside the chamber. So,
well, nobody suggested turning it on, Max.
I know when you go get your x-rays at the hospital, the people that are giving the x-ray get behind something.
A lead vest lead bar.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You know
that
what
I would
this reminds me of?
What?
See, if you play the record backward, you get some kind of secret.
Yeah, same kind of stuff. But, you know, I've been around transmitters that run the station that now is KFOX. Is running 100,000 watts effective, will run 23,000 watts raw power. And I've been by that transmitter when the back was off and all around it all the time when it was on. You have too, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And
y'all are still kicking around.
While our brains may be somewhat impaired, I think that's mostly alcohol related, don't you?
Probably. I would say that.
That'd be my guess.
And that's probably what the deal is.
So I don't know. But like my brother-in-law, you know, he won't talk on his cell phone very long because he's afraid something will happen. Of course, I guess if you were him, and more than you have to lose. Anyway, moving right along.
Anyway, Lenny wrote this a little ways back because this fella says, earlier Lenny wrote, I'm always getting yelled at for feeling at things, feeling how things are made at the store. And this guy says, Lenny, I feel your pain. People I go shopping with to the hardware store are always giving me a hard time about always touching everything. Am I the only one that has to put up with this nonsense? That is kind of like having your sighted friends over to look at the fish in your aquarium and having the tank covered with a tarp.
Yeah.
Go to a hardware store and keep your hands to yourself.
No.
Any good rebuttals?
Yeah.
I used to shop at our hardware store, our friendly hardware
store. If somebody takes you to the hardware store and tells you to keep your hands to yourself, go with someone else next time.
Yeah, good idea.
I touch
everything. Especially if it's your wife.
I touch everything I can, and if they don't like it, they can ask me not to come back to their store, you know? I walk along Walmart or any place I am, looking on the, feeling along the shelf, trying to figure out what there is and what I can look at. That's my prerogative. If they don't like it, I won't come back.
Yeah.
I'll shop somewhere else. You know, the problem with being blind is you don't know.
You miss so much.
What there is.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Lots of things.
One good thing about my wife is she points things out to me. Hey, Phil, I sure hate to show you this because you're going to have one once you see it, you know.
Yeah.
like that ice chest, not ice chest, but little stool that doubles as a toolbox that I have in there. I never would have known they made those.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I immediately bought one.
Yeah. But yeah, we miss, I mean, it's just so much stuff that you just never know about. That's a fact.
Any answers to that?
Yeah. I don't know where I was and all that, but anyway.
Sean and I were babbling on
there. Yeah.
He said, Robert, this is Lenny writing back now. Lenny was the one that brought it up to begin with. And he said, Robert, oh, yes, there is another place. Interesting. The salespeople at the hardware stores that I frequent learn that they have to take things out of the packages for me to see before I purchase them. None of them have a problem with me doing that. So that's nice.
Yeah, you got a good got a good hardware store, just like our local store here, to go to and look at stuff.
Well, there was one thing about Abney's, it's Abney and Sons Hardware in Lufkin, Texas, in case anybody wants to know.
Yeah.
They have a big Lazy Susan full of screws of all kinds in little bins. And so you don't have to guess the size screw you need. You can feel, and they'll sell them to you, two or three of them, or by the pound. Whereas in Lowe's or Home Depot, they're in little boxes, and you don't know what the hell you're buying. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can understand, you know, if you go to a big hardware store, I mean, he's talking about opening packages in defense. You know, some of these are vacuum sealed and all. I don't know that they're going to readily open.
Well, one person said, if I like it, I'll buy it. And what would be the difference is if I didn't know what it was, took it home, didn't like it, and brought it back, you'd have exactly the same thing, an open package. So why not just open the package now?
Save the trip.
Take the chance on me liking it, because if I don't like it, I'm going to bring it back anyway.
Yeah, so either way, you got to...
And I thought her point was well taken, so either way, you know.
And then if you take it home and have to open it, and then you take it back, you're probably mad at them, so you're going to take your business elsewhere anyway.
That's right.
Yep.
There you go.
So why not, you know, a lot of things are vacuum sealed. Yes, they are. And you can't... I guess, I don't know, if you're going to buy a monitor... You know what a monitor looks like, so you know they don't need to open that, or if you know what would.
Yeah, I think you. I mean, to be fair to for instance, I'm just thinking, I bought these floodlights, and they come to a package and they're sealed. Well, like you said about the monitor, if you don't know what a floodlight looks like, or either the guy couldn't tell you, did it have the candelabra threads or the normal threads, I mean, that should satisfy you without demanding that be open.
That the thing be... What? I don't even know what candelabra threads are.
It's
the
little Christmas tree light.
Oh, little tiny
small
threads?
Small threads as opposed to a standard or...
Sometimes you can feel that through the...
Yeah. So I'm saying with limits, you know, if it was a jigsaw or... You know, anything you kind of can open, I would go for it. But
would be, but they don't. He never does seem to mind too much opening. Hardware store would be better at, you know, at Walmart. They might not want to do that. Yeah. But the hardware store, he doesn't seem to mind. And lots of his things aren't in packages is one thing I like about that store. Go ahead, Don.
Oh, okay. Here's, you know anything about a raised bed garden, anybody? I hope so.
A little bit.
We've talked about garden
We're going to get a little advice from a guy here. He says, aloha. One thing I learned from others' mistakes is to make the bed narrow enough so you can easily weed it. In our case, instead of making a bed that could be 9 feet wide, we made two that are 3 feet wide.
Well, I agree with that.
I don't know what people can use in the continental United States, but since I have issues with my back, we made our beds 3 feet high, filled in the bottom 2 feet with what here is called cinder. Now, it actually has lots of good stuff from growing in it. Did I read that right? It actually has lots of good stuff for growing in it.
Okay.
Then we topped it off with soil, and this comes from Betsy.
Betsy Whitney from Hawaii?
I guess so.
Yeah,
aloha.
I think so.
Pretty well.
We need to have her as a guest.
Yeah, we do. But, yeah, I agree with that. I've been down this road before, and you don't want to have the garden bed so wide that you can't at least reach the middle both sides, because then you do have problems trying to work it.
The best garden I ever had in my life, and I haven't had too many, I did a little 8x8, and the reason why I know it was 8x8 because I used little garden timbers, little flower bed, and I stacked them 3 high, had them 3 and spiked them. And I filled it with dirt. In fact, I did this around a huge tree that I had taken down, and the stump was still there.
Oh, yeah?
Rotting away. So I planted a garden. The best cucumbers and best tomatoes and best bell peppers I ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. And there's no place from an 8 foot, 8x8 that you can't reach the middle. I mean, you're reaching in 4 feet. You know, there with a hoe, if you want to weed, it might be difficult.
Impossible for a blind person, see, to reach that.
Yeah, but you can almost reach across a 4 foot section of plywood.
With your arm?
Yeah, sure. If you're on the if you're on the ground and you've got a 3 foot.
Oh, 4 feet would be fine, but you couldn't make it 8 feet.
No,
across,
but it was 8 feet by 8 feet. So if
you couldn't reach the middle,
blind
person couldn't reach the middle.
He could from 4 feet.
You're saying your arm from your shoulder is 4 feet long?
But if you're sitting on the ground and your one hand is on the rail on the top of your body, and your arm will go more than 4 feet.
Mm.
If you have
what would be
that's too big.
What would be the difference if you've got a raised bed garden and this undoubtedly is built out of wood? Is this right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, and it's a raised bed. What would be the difference in that and let's say something I did sometime back?
Yep.
Like a patio tomato.
Barrels.
Yep.
Barrels
would be fine.
The same
would work fine.
About the same thing because I remember putting. Rock down in there, and then I put some soil down in
window
and
boxes.
My tomato plants.
Are you going to do that this year?
I don't think so. I haven't had much luck with them. I had just a very few tomatoes, and I understand my brother does them, and he's had some pretty good luck with them. And I think what I did wrong, and I may try it again just because of this, I think I did wrong is I had it setting up on the deck. It was sitting up on the railing on the deck, and had several of those up there. And it just didn't turn out good at all. I had 3 or 4, 5, 6, maybe a dozen tomatoes total out of several plants.
You had too much sun or too little? Which one?
I don't know. Gordon has experimented with that extensively. And what he does is he'll take his and he sets them on the ground.
Uh-huh.
He said if you'll set that pot on the ground, that it just gets a lot better response.
Why would that be? What do you mean, with holes in it or something?
I don't know.
I think they hold the moisture better. If you have a hanging plant, I noticed Emily and I have, she just goes through hanging baskets. They just die but the water, if it has holes in it to start with for drainage, the water in a hanging plant seems to leak out a lot faster. It gets drier. Maybe you're up in the air. Maybe it's sort of a reverse osmosis if it's sitting on the ground. If the ground gets moisture, it may seep back up into the
that
plant.
That makes sense.
Every year, horticulturalist Luann Tatum goes out to the goes down to the garden store and comes home with a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff.
We
and
do
then,
that.
Then next spring we trash it.
You know? We trash it.
By the fall, it's garbage.
Going to get 27 tonight, Em. You going to get those plants in?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, we're...
Well, you know, the old joke, the way you make your plants grow is you take them inside and let them watch you make a salad.
Uh-huh.
Right? And they'll understand what could happen.
Yeah.
That would work. If I was a plant, it would definitely work. I would
get my attention, I would think. But anyway, it's about time for her to go. In fact, she said at noon today, she said, I've got to do some yard work this weekend. And I thought, I got to go to the Silver Dollar drink.
What happens at the Silver Dollar?
Nothing. You want to go?
Where is the Silver
Dollar? There isn't one anymore. It's closed, as a matter of fact.
I want to go.
Go to Jimmy's, too. We'll go sit in the parking lot and drink. We could do that. Anyway, it's time for our guest from way up north from Canada. And I can't remember his name. His name is
Mark Callahan.
Mark Callahan from... somewhere in Canada. We'll find out in just a minute with more. Don Patterson and Don Shaw are both here. And Tom Houston, I'm Phil Parham with the Blind Handyman. Hang on. We'll be right back. I know you all thought we took some sort of vacation there. We had gone sledding or something, but we took a little time there. It's hard to get those Canadian guys on the telephone, but we got him. Mark Callahan, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing really good. Where are you in Canada?
Basically, Northern Ontario, 8 hours north of Lake Ontario.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, you're way up there, aren't
yeah.
you? Do you know where Cochrane, Ontario is?
Yes. I'm just about an hour and a half southwest of Cochrane.
Okay. We have a good friend named Dale Levins.
I know him, yeah.
You know Dale?
Oh, I know Dale, yeah. He's a good guy, yeah.
Well, we don't hold that against you at all.
Right on.
In fact, Dale has been to one of our reunions, and he had some friends of his came by the house, and he jumped in my swimming pool in March.
Right on.
Ooh, the water was cold.
It was cold.
His wife didn't like it, but he was showing out, I guess.
Yeah, right on.
Anyway, did you go to school with Dale or not? Or you
know? No, I just know him through work.
You didn't sound that old.
I'm 44.
44. Well, we're glad to meet you and learn of your things you've done. I don't remember who told us about you, but
Rob Bender.
Rob?
Yeah, that's
Bender.
The guy that's exactly sent us right. Email.
And what do you still work, or are you retired, or what?
No, I'm I work with the Canadian National Institute for the Blind.
Uh-huh.
And my title is Specialist Independent Living Skills.
Oh, okay.
And basically what that means is I help people in their living environment, teach them how to adapt, like either their environment or how they do things, so they can maintain their independence.
Now, this is for people who are losing or recently have lost their vision.
Yeah, a combination of like low vision and blind.
All right, Mark, is your position, this is Don Patterson, by the way,
yep.
And welcome, is your position like province-wide or nation? I mean, far do you travel?
It's a national organization, and my position, I cover a portion of northeastern Ontario.
So, a travel day, what would you go, a couple hundred miles if you had to?
Some days I could travel as far as 4 or 5 hours,
okay.
Like one way just to get to a spot, but I'd stay overnight if I did that. But probably an average travel day would be maybe a two and a half hour drive one way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you go into folks' homes and show them, like if they wanted to learn to fry bacon, you would teach them how to do that.
That's right, yeah. Just different types of activities around their home and teach them how they can either adapt, you know, how they do the activity or like the environment that it's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your level? Are you totally blind?
I just have light perception.
Light perception.
My eye condition is retinitis pigmentosa.
Uh-huh.
So I was born... I never had perfect eyesight. It had maybe 20 over 60 at the best.
Okay, so you know...
And as I get older, it just got worse.
So you know a little bit about colors. And
that's right, yeah.
You also understand what it's like to be mostly blind, I suppose.
That's right, yeah. I know what it's like to have low vision, and then I also know what it's like to basically have vision to the point where it doesn't really do you much good.
Does your position involve, like, I'm wondering, are you a Braille reader?
Yes, yeah, okay. I teach Braille.
I was going to say, does this help, or are you involved with technology too, or are you just like the living skills?
A little bit of technology. You know, I give tips and that and help with teaching people how to use it, not really in depth.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I guess, of course, you get tired of everything you do. Everybody says, well, I'd like to have that job, but I'm sure you meet some that can adapt and some that refuse to admit they're blind and all sorts of people.
Yeah, you meet all kinds. Most people are pretty willing to learn new ways of doing things. Like, a lot, you know, the human spirit is pretty strong. Like, most people, they want to try and keep on doing the things they enjoy.
And not to beat a dead horse, but like here in the States, if one had that equivalent job, like here in my area, I would work for the state of Texas.
Yeah. All right, okay,
you,
yeah.
You work for the federal government.
Right, okay, yeah.
Is that correct? I mean,
well, no, it's basically a non-profit organization. Like, it's a national organization.
Okay.
It's all across Canada.
Okay.
But it gets some funding from the government, but it's not
obviously
an actual body.
You receive
government.
A salary, though, right?
Yeah, they pay you to do this.
That's right, yeah, I get paid, yeah.
Very good, yeah. Okay.
All right, well, other than that, what are your other interests? Woodwork or metalwork, or what are your hobbies?
I guess basic home repairs and carpentry. I own a home where I live in northeastern Ontario, and then I also have, my mom has some property, like southeastern Ontario, and uh-huh. I've done renovations there. Basically, it's an old farmhouse that over the years we've just gutted it and redid the house. So
really?
A lot of, you know, tearing out the lath and plaster and then insulating the walls and putting the drywall on. And then doing the exterior, like putting, taking off any like old siding and putting on styrofoam and taping the seams, and then putting on vinyl siding over top of that.
Because this is one of those old houses that was built without insulation.
That's right. Yeah, it's
wow.
The house,
yeah,
the spot that I've done the most work is this property in southeastern Ontario, and it's the house itself is probably around 100 years old. It's like a there's a name for it, but it's basically like a built like a barn with the beams and that, and it's
yeah.
lumber nailed on either side.
Uh-huh.
So it's not your outside walls don't have like 2x4s and stuff like that. It's like beams and then lumber on either side. There was no insulation in between those boards, so we insulated that, and then I also put insulation like on either side after I did that too.
Yeah, it'd be a little hard to heat a house that didn't have some insulation.
Yeah, like it's nice now because it's really well insulated now,
yeah,
but
imagine.
It was pretty drafty.
Yeah, it was. Man.
And your grandmother lives in this house? Or
no, actually, it's been in the family for about 150 years, and it'll get passed on down to me after my mom dies. It's no one lives there. We treat it like a camp.
Ah.
It's in a spot where there's no hydro, no telephone. We have a propane little furnace and stove and fridge and light. And we heat it mainly with a cook stove, like an old-style wood cook stove.
Okay.
Has a reservoir and a warming oven. And then we also use a 7,000-watt generator. And I have there's a drilled well, and I have a submersible pump. And the well like comes to the house, and then have like a switch that when I start the generator and I flip a switch, it'll turn. I can have the pump come on. It has a pressure tank,
mm-hmm.
and has a big enough pressure tank so that through the day, like if you wanted to get, you know, a pail of water or something, you could without having to turn the generator on.
Uh-huh.
And then we've also set up a little DC pump because we have one of the composting toilets, and it has a 4-inch exhaust pipe on it with a little 12-volt DC fan.
Uh-huh.
That draws sewer gases out of that toilet.
Yeah.
And it runs off a battery that's in the basement, like a deep cycle marine battery. And then I've got it hooked up to about 1.5 like amps at the most for these little solar panels.
A little
trick,
yeah.
Up to that.
Okay.
And then I also have this little 12-volt pump that runs off that same battery so that if I heat up a pail of water and I have like a shower stall in the house that I can flip a switch and I can have a shower without having to start the generator.
Now, how do you heat? Water's heated with solar?
Yeah, you can heat it like either on the gas stove, just, you know, in a kettle, a couple kettles, heat
yeah.
up and pour in this like a plastic pail,
mm-hmm.
or you can heat it on the wood stove. And
yeah.
this little pump, it's called a pony pump. I put it on the side of the shower stall. So it has like a garden hose comes out of either end.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it just gives you just enough pressure to
take pressure, yeah. You can have a decent shower with it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. But it's going to be a cold shower.
No, because I warm up the water. Like, if you warm up the water and have this, like, a 5-gallon pail full of, you know, make the water the temperature that you want for the shower. And it's just like a regular shower.
Yeah, but you better be ready to get through with it. You don't
that's
wanna,
right.
You don't
want to
be standing around in there saying your prayers. Or,
yeah, that's right,
know,
yeah.
Talking
it's basically 5 gallons is pretty good. Like, Like, you can have a shower and not have to, you know, basically soap yourself up, flip the switch, and then turn the water on, rinse off.
Rinse off.
So, Mark, I'm kind of geography conscious. Where are you in relation to Michigan, to Detroit?
Okay. Well, Detroit is just on the other side of Windsor. So where I live most of the time in northeastern Ontario would be pretty much, like, I think Windsor would be about 3 hours from Toronto.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about your southeastern Ontario.
Location? Okay.
Yeah.
That would be about, you know, where, like, Rochester and places like that
are?
Yeah,
right.
The States. Be north of that, north of, not too far north of Lake Ontario.
Okay.
Be north, like, Fort Drum would be further east.
All right, so with your mom's place here, I mean, we talking some acres here?
There's 97 acres.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's mixed, mostly, like, evergreens. Not every spring I get, for the last 20 years, I get 300 little, like, seedlings, and we plant to reforestate areas of it. And then there's other parts, like, later on I'll just get it worked up. But it's basically, it was a farm that was worked, you know, up till about maybe 50 or 60 years ago,
right.
And then now it's starting to go back to what it would have been before.
So you're going to sell Christmas trees when you retire?
I'm just doing it just to have, you know, a spot where, you know, if I needed some lumber or something like that, but more just for the, you know, just to walk. And
you
I've
know,
got trails made, and I've, like, trimmed the trees.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Right around,
it is nice, yeah, it's nice.
We live really, well, in fact, we are, East Texas, in the timber producing country for pine, you know, yellow pine.
Okay,
and so, actually, the Forest Service here gives pine trees away to plant.
Yeah,
you know, you
can
get, and so many people do it, like, if they have for their young grandchildren.
Yeah.
And by the time the trees mature, you know, some of these kids have quite a sizable little chunk.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, you know, you plant some trees, and within about 5 years, like, especially like the white spruce knot, they'll be 5-6 feet high if you give, you know, you take care of them and that.
Right.
And these ones here, like, all what we do is, like, any areas where there's clearings now, we'll plant the trees, and then later on, like, I actually have I have trails made, so I'm pretty familiar with areas, and I can kind of, it's kind of hilly now, so I can kind of tell in relation to, like, the hill, you know, or whatever type of land that I'm on, where I am in relation to the rest of the property, and then I have a guide dog. And with him, I'm pretty good. Like, I can get from the house to areas where I want to, like, trim trees and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just put, like, a little bell on him. So I'll walk down to an area, say, and take his harness net off, and then just putter away trimming some trees and stuff, and then just call him. And I can kind of, I can hear where he is, too, if he's, you know, in the area with the little bell, then get him back and put his harness on and just walk back up to the house.
And you can say, home, and he'll
say... Yeah, he's pretty much, like... Like, what he'll do is, if say I'm on kind of the side of a hill where I'm trimming some trees, and he'll go by scent till he gets to the trail. So he'll walk along, and I'll know, like, I'll basically point my body in the direction I want to go. Like, I'll know that I got to go downhill a little ways to get to the trail.
Uh-huh.
So he'll kind of backtrack. Like, he'll use his sense of smell. Like, he'll have his head down, and then once he gets on the trail, he'll just lift his head and start walking by sight.
Is that right?
No. Yeah, when I'm holding on to the handle of the harness, I can tell, like, if his head's down or if he's looking to the left or the right, stuff like that.
Now, Mark, are you using a chainsaw to do this trimming?
No, mainly what I do is I use, like, a sweet saw, and then I'll use cutters because it's the limbs that I'm cutting aren't real big.
All right, what was the first saw you mentioned?
Like a sweet saw.
All right, tell us about that.
What is it?
It's like, you know... I guess it'd be like if you take, like, sort of like a half of a shape, like a half a moon.
Right.
And then have the blade be maybe an inch wide.
A bow saw.
Bow saw.
Like a bow saw.
A bow saw, okay. That's right. Yeah, that type of a saw.
You know, they make some of these things that are on a rope, like, that you can...
I've heard of those. Yeah, these ones here, I'm just using, you know, blade might be a couple feet long.
So you're working on your young trees, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, like in trees that the bottom limbs aren't real big. Like, there might be the odd one where it's an inch or two, but most of them it's less, you know, less than an inch in diameter.
Right.
A lot of them I can trim with like clippers.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is just trying to, in areas where I planted little trees, let more light in at those trees.
I gotcha. Okay.
And but you don't use anything electric to do this tree trimming with?
No. That I just do with the hand tool.
Yeah.
Like I'll use at the house, I'll use like a miter saw if I want to cut like 2x4s and things like that.
Oh yeah, that's in you mean any wood shop?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, but
yeah,
trimming trees, this is all done with a bow saw and cross cut or whatever kind
of
saw.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, you scared me. I thought you were up there using a chainsaw.
Yeah.
That's why I thought the CNI dog may not come back.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I know we got three legs.
We talked to a blind guy that did some stuff with a chainsaw one time, and
yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Got several letters from people that said I've done a lot of stuff, but I ain't using no chainsaw. And, I've started the chainsaw for my wife to use several times.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
You must have a sighted lady with you.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
That drives you back and forth to this.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us about your wood shop then.
Basically, I have in the house. Like I have a shed where I have the generator and like a workbench set up and things like that. And then have another spot in the house where I have shelves and a bench set up with the miter saw and that. I don't actually haven't got any other, like I'll use drills, things like that, but I don't have any other like table saw or things like that. That's down the road I plan to. What I'd like to get is some more advanced as far as like a miter saw, but something that has like an arm. So it kind of, because the one I'm using right now, it just has like about an 8 1/4 inch blade on it. So I'd like to get something where, because right now I can cut like 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x8s, like if I flip them over.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind having something that's, you know, as I've become more used to the miter saw, I'd like to get one that has like an adjustable arm on it.
So you want a radial arm saw?
That's right, yeah. That's right.
Or if you want to just cut bigger timber, a 12-inch, I have a 10-inch sliding compound miter saw.
Okay, yeah.
But I'll tell you, that's still, everyone, you have to flip 4x4 over. It doesn't get that little corner. So the optimum would be a 12-inch.
Yeah.
And that will cut just about anything the average guy would, would use.
Well, and then a table saw is not a bad thing to have.
Yeah,
I think a couple of us have I've got a little cheap $150 table saw that it's occasionally, I'll use it every 6 months, but when I need it, it's exactly what I needed it.
At the
time for cutting, like if you're building a shelf and you want to make some trim, you can route the edge and then cut that trim off and turn it sideways to make you kind of a big bigger piece of trim. Have you got router? Have you got a router table? You're going to need.
I like to get more of those kinds of things. Like it's nice when you can do, like I found just using the miter saw, it's so nice, you know, because before that I would just use a hand saw and I would set like a 2x4 over top of another 2x4, say if I wanted to cut a 2x4. But, you know, you don't always get a nice square cut.
No, you don't.
No.
So your plan is someday to retire to this house in the country.
It's a nice spot. Like it's a location where you know you could really keep yourself busy just puttering around and things like that.
Yeah, sounds good. But what would Mama do now if you did that?
Basically, she has a house that is in a nearby city. Like she doesn't actually live there. We kind of treat it like a camp right now.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's no one lives there year round.
Yeah,
it's just when I go home, like we'll spend their time out there then.
And you have the beer fridge hooked to the generator permanently.
Actually, what we have is a propane fridge.
You wouldn't need a fridge in Canada.
And Mark,
you wouldn't, would you?
How many pesky relatives are you going to have to divide this up with? That's always a problem down here.
Well, basically, it'll be left to me, and then like I have like two nieces and two nephews. So anyway.
Two ex-nieces and ex-nephews, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lordy,
no
lordy.
Children. Ask if you have any children.
Do you have any children?
No, I don't. My wife has, her kids are growing up. Like, she was married before, and she has, like, they're, like, range in age from 23 to 27.
They'll come in for a part. Yeah. But anyway, sounds really good. How much longer do you plan to work, sir?
Hopefully another... hopefully till I'm 60 or 65.
So you got a while before you got
a little ways to go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just curious, in your job, obviously you would need a driver. Is your wife the driver, or do you have another driver from the?
Well, there is a person that's like my part-time driver, and then also what we try to do is coordinate. So I go when other staff are going to spots.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if there was a sighted person going that way, well, you get them, you just ride
along
with them.
Yeah, like we just try to coordinate. So, you know, when they're going to go see people in a town, I go along too to see the people I have to see in the same town.
Well, sounds like you're leading a good active life. And so you go there weekends, or you spend your vacation
right now, because it's about a 9-hour drive.
Oh, man.
To get there. So that's basically a vacation spot for me.
Yeah. All right. Well,
have you ever thought of a transfer, Mark? Maybe they would send you down to Southeast Ontario. And you could vacation
like
in the Northeast.
You know, maybe someday, but I like it here because my wife, like, she works with the same organization as I do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. Like, we both, you know, work in the same area and everything.
Nice setup, great, Mark.
You want to keep that wife working. I believe in that. I'm a firm believer in working wives.
Right.
Listen, man, you sound like a happy sort of a guy.
Pretty well, yeah.
Sometime when Dale's coming down, you need to get on that plane with him and come
exactly,
down.
Exactly, yeah.
Come down to Texas where it's warm. It's probably 70 degrees here today. What's temperature there where you are?
It's probably close to zero right now. Like, it's like Fahrenheit. It's been below zero for sure for the last few
town.
Days.
Yeah.
But right now it's probably around zero. Probably right now.
Zero. Is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Fahrenheit. Like Celsius, we're looking at maybe 30 below at night. Mm. They meet at 40 below. So we're actually with the wind chill, it has been about 40 below for the last few days.
Goodness.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been pretty cold. Like. Just like our Christmas and that was pretty, really mild, like unusually mild, but the last few days we've been paying for it.
So you have no sympathy for those people in Minnesota that are bitching about it being 40 below there, do you?
No, it's you know, I know there's areas where, really, there's areas that are colder than us. We're lucky, in a way, it's kind of neat because, I mean, when it gets this cold, you don't get big snowstorms.
Yeah, I guess
you know,
that's true.
Like it's not. It's when it gets a little warmer, that's when you get snow.
Yeah. Well, listen, sir, you keep on keeping on, and we're glad to make your acquaintance. And we're going to air that this weekend on ACB Radio, and I think it's on the Canadian broadcasting system.
On voice
there.
Print, eh?
I think it is.
On Saturday afternoon.
I think on Saturday afternoons, we're right there, the Blind Handyman. Mark, thank you very much, sir, and you keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
See
right
you,
on.
Mark.
All right.
Okay.
Wow. Another guy doing handyman stuff.
Yeah.
They're all over the world, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And we thought we were the only one, Sean.
That's what we did, didn't we?
We did.
Some strange reason.
Let me disconnect him, and we'll give a little music in and come back and talk about, we're just about through with Don Patterson's projects. Well, that's what he's been saying for months. I know you've all heard that.
Yeah.
It's like show 87. We'll be right back. Hang on. Yeah, he was a very talkative guy. Seemed to be adjusted well.
Oh yeah.
To being blind, not bothered by it.
Like, he was in control.
He was in control. He seems to be in control of his. Of course, he's a lot younger than we are and has a lot more energy and has a minute to go out and trim them trees. Those trees would have to get would just be untrimmed if it's left up to me. Last time,
well, remember, if it was that cold, huh?
I told you 6 months or so ago, Lou Ann started to work, and a big limb had fallen down over the driveway. Sure enough, she could get around and get out. But I went down there and sawed it. It took me about an hour, and it was about 3 inches around. And I swore right then, this bow saw can hang there a long time before I ever use it again.
But, you know, if you use it like he apparently does, like a little hobby place, a little fun place, think about being out there just with your dog. And I don't even care for dogs, but if I was out there with old Ozzy, man, and out 97 acres, and it'd be quiet, and just be you and your little saw, and you knew what you were doing or wanted to do, I'd be pleasant. I'd be just as refreshing.
And you weren't worried about how you were going to get back to the house. You knew you could.
That's right. And, you know, I started to mention your trails that you've run your rope and string and post, but I guess 97 acres, that'd be a big undertaking.
Well, but, of course, I don't have a dog. I can do my trails without, it's just easier to do them if you're carrying stuff, you know, it's just easier to run your hand along the rope.
Well, you know, anymore, how about, you know, I think they make these GPS systems that are portable, and you could put the main thing back at the house and kind of hone in on it.
You could.
Wander around.
Well, the reason I need a rope is I can't, if my hearing was back up to speed, I could hear the trees on each side and would not run into one.
Oh, I think the rope was neat.
Now,
you can go anywhere you want to, down three or four different trails.
Of course, they've messed it up now because they've got all, have you looked over there?
No, I haven't been with all that log.
Oh, my God.
Y'all had some serious tree damage.
We had some serious pine beetles, and they say, well, I read one time where you lose 15% of your trees every year just happens. Man, I lost probably 20 big, nice, huge pine trees.
Y'all are talking, 8 acres, 7 plus, something like that.
7 acres.
And I don't know the whole area, but just on Emily and I's place, say 80 feet wide and 500 feet long is what we left as our barrier to the highway. All pine trees, I mean, they've long since, the hardwood trees have never, you know, been, it's clear cut once, but we're going to lose that. We're thinking about something like switch cane or something to plant in that.
Between you and the road?
Yeah, because all of the trees are probably...
It'll be gone eventually.
If they don't fall down, the light company will take them down, even if they're a threat to their lines, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I had enough good timber left that this guy did it. I mean, he did what needed doing over there for nothing. He took the timber to do it. I've no idea how much money he made. I'm not in the timber selling business. I wouldn't. They could offer me X number of dollars for a tree, and I would have no idea whether that was fair or not.
That's
But he seemed to know, and he said, "I'll do this for the timber." And he was over there 3 days, better part of 3 days, with some sort of an all terrain vehicle pulling logs up to the road and, you know,
whacking them up.
We had about three other guys over there with him, so I guess he made money selling my timber.
Yeah.
And, you know, our friend John Connolly gets timber money all the time from some property.
Every 5 years, they sell off some timber.
From some property they own, buys two Plex Talks.
Yeah.
Second dress.
I think it's about time for them to have another big sale again.
Charters buses.
Does dumb stuff.
Flies
like that
quite frequently.
Yeah.
Takes occasional cruises.
Occasional cruises, but he won't make those Ernest Tubb CDs for me, will he? But anyway,
buys a myriad of box sets.
He does buy those box sets. He's got more box sets than anybody I know. Probably more than Bill Crow. He buys things and he sells timber. I don't know where his timber comes from, but occasionally you get it.
Louisiana, I think. Somewhere in Louisiana, they must
have lots of acreage somewhere because every once in a while he gets a big, you know, thousands of dollars checks for timber. I don't know if this guy screwed me, and I've no idea if this guy treated me fair.
No more than you had. You were well off. No, you were well off to get them down.
Yeah, I was.
If it was a large, you know, it periodically we're out at the big farm, they call it, which belongs to Emily and brothers and cousins, and she kind of turned it over to the judge because he does it for the grandchildren. They sell the timber, and they do quite well.
Yeah.
And the money goes in the kids' college fund.
I guess if I build a stage, I'll be buying back some of my timber in two before.
Well, now, that'd make you hot. That'd
it would.
Get you all,
that'd hurt
oh,
you,
man.
Wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Build, if I build a stage.
Well, maybe he'll commit another crime by then. I thought he was one of Luann's out-of-work releasers.
No, I think he had had some. I think she'd done a divorce for him.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll be doing another one.
Maybe he'll get another
divorce.
But
they don't last long.
maybe something will happen. Anyway, seemed like a really nice guy. He did my timber, and it's gone.
I think you did a good deal.
He left me a mess over there. Go over there. When you go home tonight, look. Because it's the damnedest mess you've ever seen. It'll be a while for a week.
Treetops and just bark.
John Henry
crap
will be burning
everywhere,
fires
huh?
forever, right?
John Henry will be burning fires forever, and he loves to do that.
He likes to do that.
We got plenty of wood for Blind Weekend.
But the baseball days are gone. History, so.
Well, they are for our kids. For our kids are gone. And that John Tatum, young John, is just, I mean, a hitting fool.
Yeah, we
this year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I saw his daddy on Channel 9 News the other night. They were interviewing him at some baseball game somewhere.
Oh, that's all you talk about. I can't stand to be around him, but that's all he talks about. But they had hamburgers. They played 100 innings Saturday out at Chambers Park.
What was that for?
Just a little fundraiser for the baseball team.
That was it, the 100 innings.
100 innings.
Okay.
I mean, who played it? The same guys?
Just the Panthers played each other.
Oh, good.
They got two or three teams. They got varsity.
Yeah,
you know, they got
100 innings.
100 innings.
All right, that'd be 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11 yeah. games. 11,
it was wild.
Nine
and did
games.
Burgers. You should have. I wish I'd have called you. We'd have gone.
I would have done it, yeah.
All right, guys. Tom Houston. Thank you, sir. Don Patterson and Don Shaw.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming to our home and being with us for Blind Handy Man. I'm Phil Parr. We'll do it again next week. I see that'll be show 188, won't it, Don?
187, probably.
188. Yeah. I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.